back again to create a disturbance in virtual Africa. This is Yvonne Tina, still PhD student in the Arts and Technology program of UT Dallas. And today I have the pleasure to be with Tobias Van Veen. Excuse me for the pronunciation. Hey, Tobias.
Hey, good morning.
Would you mind please introducing yourself and maybe improving my pronunciation of your name?
My name is Tobias Van Veen. I am a postdoctoral researcher at the University of Montreal in communications. And I wrote my PhD dissertation on Afrofuturism.
Okay, so yeah, maybe I will go straight to the point because people will see a picture on creative disturbance and probably going to ask, what the heck am I doing recording a podcast about Africa and Afrofuturism and with a white guy? So where does your interest in Afrofuturism come from?
It's interesting. I actually became fascinated by all kinds of music from an early age, well before I went into academia. So from the early 1990s, I've been a turntablist.
Yes.
And very early on, I started buying records from Detroit. So a lot of Detroit techno and Chicago acid house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from Vancouver in BC in Canada. Which did not have a very strong Detroit or Chicago music scene. Most of the music played out here was quite different, sort of funky breaks or funky house or very different kinds of genres. So I started playing this music out, and then I started contacting the labels and faxing them and writing them and just sort of learning more about Detroit and the history of techno music and electronic music, and it just fascinated me. It's something that I've pursued since the early 1990s, and I started writing on it, forming collectives of DJs to create events that focused on Detroit and Chicago music, and getting very much into the kind of science fictional imaginaries that came out of Detroit techno, all the kinds of crazy heteronyms and characters and science fictional personalities behind the music. And it sort of went from there and just became part of a media arts practice and a curatorial practice. And then much later, when I was a graduate student at McGill doing my master's degree, I decided to write on DJ Spooky and remix culture. And then I made the decision to write my PhD on Afrofuturism. In the 1990s, I was on the Afrofuturism email list, which was started by Alondra Nelson and DJ Spooky. And had the chance to DJ a few times with Paul D. Miller, aka DJ Spooky, and sort of go from there. There were a number of concepts and sort of interesting artistic and aesthetic and political ideas about identity and race and arts and culture that all came out of Afrofuturism, especially in the 1990s. And I figured that nobody had yet sort of written a sort of a dissertation length, sort of deep.
So what was the specific question that your dissertation tries to address?
It's kind of non-standard in that I didn't address a specific question. Part of the dissertation is in communication studies and part of it is in philosophy. I actually did a degree in both departments, which I would not recommend. So part of the dissertation was almost a cultural study or ethnographic in terms of introducing and explaining the entire history of Afrofuturist arts and aesthetics in the 20th century, sort of going back to jazz, especially the work of Sun Ra, funk music, especially George Clinton, figures like Afrika Bambaataa, the Ramelzi, especially Grace Jones. And then moving up towards more contemporary figures like Dr. Octagon, RZA from Wu-Tang, Janelle Monáe, Erykah Badu. So that was part of it. And then the other half was pulling concepts and ideas out of these performers, and especially working with a book by Kodjo Ishun, who wrote a book called More Brilliant Than the Sun, which I think is an incredible, awesome kind of remix philosophical text. That just throws ideas out from this kind of music. So I most of the dissertation is an explication of just three concepts: chronopolitics, concept technics, and myth science.
Okay, I would like maybe to come back to those concepts a little bit later, but the reason why I contacted you it is because I saw your proposal on the SLSA list for a conference in Rice University this year about this idea and movement of Afrofuturism. So the idea with you today, maybe we're gonna have an Afrofuturist podcast series on creative disturbance, but I would like with you maybe to unpack this idea of Afrofuturism and maybe to give to the listeners a broad overview of this movement. So when does it start? Who are the pioneers of this movement, the key figures? And yeah, please define it for the people. What is the relationship with blackness and mythology, science fiction, and so on?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably more that can be said about Afrofuturism than we'll have time for here. So I look forward to the podcast in terms of unfolding all these questions. Afrofuturism began as a name for a movement that did not exist. It was really a term coined. It was coined by Mark Derry in the early 1990s with the interview with Samuel Delaney, the black science fiction author, Tricia Rose, and Greg Tate. But there were earlier writers too who were sort of tuning into Black Atlantic Futurism. Like, there were various names for it. So Mark Sinker wrote some great work in Wire magazine, and Greg Tate did as well. And so did Amir Baraka, going back to the 1960s on sort of astral blackness and Sun Ra. So it was sort of an attempt to think what's happening in this Afro-diasporic Black culture when it turns to science fiction and futurism. What happens to Black identity when it encounters science fictional themes? And there was this sort of general thesis that Afrofuturism is a way of revisioning the past, the sort of also reclaiming and recovering lost past narratives, dealing with the trauma of the Middle Passage for African Americans, recovering in kind of an Afrocentric way, whitewashed histories of Egypt, rereading them as Kemet, so following from a lot of Afrocentric work. So this idea of revisioning the past, but revisioning the past sort of alter the coordinates of the future, so to produce new futures, because a lot of science fiction in the 20th century doesn't have Black people in the future. It's a very whitewashed future. A lot of classic science fiction is completely white. So there was this idea of literally writing novel futures that included a future for Blackness, but then thinking up different ideas of what Blackness might look like in the future. And then, but it's through this process of revisioning the past and envisioning new futures that Afrofuturism sought to destabilize the coordinates of the present. And that's where it gets really interesting. That's when you have figures like Sun Ra, who says, "I'm from Saturn." He sort of denies his earthly existence. He tries to become alien, sort of adopts a sort of alien identity. There's a lot of Afrofuturist performance, radical Black performance, or radical Black ontology. I think it's Richard Eitan who talks about radical Black performance and radical Black ontology. He sort of calls it this tradition of the Black fantastic. So yeah, I mean, a lot of the best Afrofuturist performers come out of a sort of hybrid music, arts, and performance scene. And I think they take their performances of alternate modelings of Blackness very seriously. So Sun Ra, Grace Jones, Janelle Monáe, Dr. Octagon, Rammell Z. I mean, these are all people who have invented alternate identities and invested entire fictional, science fictional life worlds into them.
What I've noticed is that they're all coming from America.
Yeah, this is a really interesting question. I would say that historically, what was called Afrofuturism in the 1990s referred primarily to Afro-diasporic artists. So you mainly have artists from America, but not necessarily, because this includes Lee Scratch Perry, King Tubby, like a lot of the stuff coming out around dub out of Jamaica, and also, of course, the United Kingdom. with the whole ambient movement and drum and bass movements out of the UK as well. But yeah, this is so far it's very Afro-diasporic, and in the earlier versions of Afrofuturism, there is no real attention paid towards the African continent.
What are the current relationships to the African continent of those artists?
Yeah, I mean that's a big question. It might be easier to speak about sort of what happened to Afrofuturism around 2010,
Okay.
because the term has changed in a pretty radical way. And I mean, those of us, this is sort of an inclusive we, but having been involved with earlier Afrofuturist scholarship and music and culture in the 1990s,
Yeah.
seeing what happened with the term around 2010 is that the term Afrofuturism was taken up by new artists in cosplay and comics and literature and performance and music, just all over the map, and artists who are working more in gallery formats as well, and forms of collage and painting and installation, like so forth. And Afrofuturism was taken up as like a completely modern term, and now actually I think names a real living movement. And this movement is no longer just confined to sort of a North Americanist or Europeanist Afro diaspora. It definitely names artists, and it's been taken up by artists across the African continent. And I'd say this is unfolding as we speak. It's something very much in the moment, and so we can't quite speak about it in terms of this has happened or that has happened. Instead, we just have artists sort of making their presence known by hashtagging Afrofuturism on social media. And that is actually how Afrofuturism has really spread now. It's versus the 1990s, where it was an email list and sort of publications, is now it's moved into social media, and there's people who are identifying with that term and making it their own and making Afrofuturism say what they want to say. And as the African continent continues to come online, and it already is massively online in various ways, that relationship is now building between Afro-diasporic, African American, Afro-European artists, thinkers, and writers, and what's happening on the African continent. So this is very much in process. It's happening right now.
Okay, so two quick questions. The first one is that at the in the origin of the movement, you mentioned Sun Ra. There were this close relationship between science fiction and space. Is Afrofuturism still linked with to space conquest or space imaginaries or fantasies today? And I think the next one I will ask after that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's changed with Afrofuturism today is that it no longer describes what has happened in terms of science fiction and blackness and artists working with these terms. Instead, it's a much more open concept. It really is much more what you make of it. So contemporary definitions of Afrofuturism will talk about Afrocentricity, magical realism, non-Western cosmogonies, alternate cosmologies. I'd say there's still an interest in science fiction. I'd say science fiction sort of defines in a broad way a lot of the parameters of Afrofuturism. It sort of gives it a cohesiveness. But that's science fiction thought really broadly. That doesn't have to include outer space or thinking about space or even the alien. Although I tend to think that thinking of blackness and the alien and outer space tends to be where Afrofuturism is at its most interesting and most radical, or at least has been so far. We'll see what else happens. But that is also because a lot of non-Western cosmogonies that Afrofuturist artists work with, such as Kemetian myth science, like ancient Egyptian mythologies, and also ancient Dogon mythologies, also reference outer space and make very strong cosmological and spiritual and religious and mystical connections to blackness and outer space in terms of origin narratives and communications with others from other planets. And this is something which is, you know, it's there in Sun Ra, and it's there in, I think, a lot of the more interesting Afrofuturist figures.
Okay. The other question was linked with the idea and the concept of black mass. Are you the only white guy in the story?
I love that. Am I the only white guy doing Afrofuturism?
Yeah.
No, probably not.
Do you know white people, white Afrofuturist artists?
Yeah. You know, this is an interesting question as to whether I think of myself as an Afrofuturist either. It's something I actually dealt with in my dissertation. Historically, Mark Derry, who coined the term Afrofuturism, is white. So is Mark Sinclair, British journalist. But, you know, I was at a recent conference called Astro Blackness 2 down in Los Angeles. And there was, I believe, probably three white scholars at the conference, you know, 99% black. So yeah, there's not too many white scholars. There's also, I think, Lisa Yazcheck, who's written on black science fiction and Afrofuturism. But you know, this is a minoritarian field. It's already very much a sort of minoritarian study, even within black studies or African American studies or Afro diaspora studies. And also partly because it challenges a lot of received ideas. On the other end of the spectrum, I think one of the most interesting scholars working in Afrofuturism right now is Alexander Wahalahi, who challenges a lot of ideas in Afrofuturism, but works very closely with them.
Is it someone that we can have in the podcast series on Afrofuturism?
Oh, yeah. Alex would be wonderful to speak to. I would love to talk to him. Yeah. Especially because we disagree with each other a lot of the time about ideas. So it'd be fantastic. It'd be a real conversation. I mean, you were going to ask me more about whiteness and Afrofuturism. I mean, I don't think of myself as an Afrofuturist because to me, that's a question of representation. You know, I'm not black. I can't speak for black experience. What I can speak to is the power of certain kinds of black music to transform any body. And music has a force that pushes through identity and affects the body directly through affect and vibration and rhythm. And that is why there's a very strong, almost cosmopolitanist aspect to Afrofuturism. And one of my favorite sort of theorists around Afrofuturism is Paul Gilroy. He talks about the Black Atlantic, the call and response of music as forging networks, and the importance of such kinds of arts of presenting new models of cosmopolitanism, which I just sort of put an S in there and call it cosmopolitanism.
Okay, I get to wrap up this discussion, but one last question would be, in your paper, in the vessels of transfer, you say at the beginning that Afrofuturism is now considered as an academic, you know, topic, comes into the scholarship, you know, institution. Do you know any schools or any program in the U.S. or in Canada or even in Africa that integrate Afrofuturism as part of an education program?
Yeah, it's happening. So most of my knowledge right now, at least, is in North American studies. So Alex Wahalahi is teaching a course on Afrofuturism. I believe Nala Hopkinson has taught courses on Black science fiction, Afrofuturist literature. So is Alondra Nelson. I mean, what I'm finding is that Afrofuturism is definitely moving into the curricula and being offered in different contexts. So it's being offered in English and literature departments in terms of looking at Black science fiction. That's probably its most prominent form of study. But increasingly, it's being offered in sort of communications, media, and cultural studies and Black studies departments, where there's a more integrated approach looking at Afrofuturism in terms of theory and also just sort of performance and media and looking at questions of identity and race. So, I mean, I've taught a course that focuses upon these questions, and I hope to teach more courses that focuses upon these questions. As for the African continent, I'm not sure exactly yet what is going on because I have not had a chance to visit. Definitely, this must be outside of the podcast too, but Ronaldo Anderson will be the person that we can ask that question to.
Do you have like a little idea about what who you're gonna interview? Do you have a few names that come to your mind now?
Yeah, sure. We'll see if we get everyone, but
yeah.
So hopefully an upcoming on the Afrofuturist podcast series, we can hope to hear from Yatasha Womack, author of the 2013 book Afrofuturism, DJ Spooky, aka Paul D. Miller, Jeff Mills, the notable Detroit techno musician, Alondra Nelson, who more or less founded Afrofuturist Studies and the Afrofuturism email list with DJ Spooky, Nala Hopkinson, the Canadian Afro-Caribbean science fiction writer, Tanarive Du is also a Black science fiction writer, Ronaldo Anderson, who has put together a coming book series called Afrofuturism 2.0, The Rise of Astro-Blackness. Mm-hmm. John Jennings, who's a Black science fiction comic artist and professor. Stacey Robinson, who is also a Black science fiction comics artist. And Minister Faust, who is a Black science fiction author and broadcaster and a Canadian. He's from Edmonton, if memory serves me correct, and actually does a lot of work with sort of Somali Afrofuturism. That's just from the top of my head. there's a lot more people out there. Like I have a folder full of all the websites and stuff that I keep coming across of exhibitions and like new work from artists I've never heard of before. So yeah, there's a lot of people. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. So we look forward to hearing from you again.
Bye. All right. Thank you.